Good afternoon, beloved. Well, as I promised, this Lord's Day sermon is devoted to addressing the issue of the COVID-19 virus and its impact on our lives. I understand that there are different responses, reactions by folks who are in different situations and circumstances. And so my hope and prayer for this sermon is to put rock under your feet, whether you're at home with your family or working in the hospital context. Our focus today will be on the person of God and on the truth of His Word. A twofold focus today, God and His Word. We will be looking at various passages, and so please have your Bibles at the ready. The title of my sermon this afternoon is Unchanging Truth in a Changing World. Unchanging Truth in a Changing World. Now, towards the end of my sermon, in light of God's truth, I will address some of the practicals, our responsibilities to one another, and also our responsibility to the community around us, which relates to why we are currently and continuing to meet over this video stream for the time being. Well, then, turn with me to the book of Psalms, and to Psalm 27 in particular. Psalm 27. Follow along with me and listen to God's word. Psalm 27, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I desire of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle, He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will care for me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. Let's pray together. Our great God and Father, in a changing and uncertain world, we look to your unchanging and incorruptible word. Give us insight and perspective in these strange times. In the midst of confusion and panic, give us peace and a heart that is at rest in you. And now, as we open up your holy word, strengthen and encourage us as we feed upon the truth of that eternal word. We offer this prayer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Do not fear. Do not fear. We are creatures of habit. We thrive off of routines and structure. We don't like change. A lot of change has taken place in the last 2 weeks. Day by day, even hour by hour, things seem to be changing. This causes fear and anxiety and even panic. We prefer the predictable. We need to know what's next, what to expect. We've gone to bed one night in one reality, only to wake up the next in what seems to be a whole new world. And as a result of so much change, we try to grab on and to hold on to anything that we think might stabilize us. And quite often, we hold on to the wrong things. Beloved church, please hear me this afternoon. In the face of change, as the world around us reels, the truth is that there is only one place, only one place to stand. There is one thing that will never change, that never changes. Psalm 102, verse 25. Hear God's word again. Psalm 102, beginning in verse 25. Of old, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. Beloved, in the face of unprecedented change, do not fear, for our God is unchanging and eternal. God is unchanging and eternal. And here, right here, we find a place to stand, a ballast in the midst of the storm, consistency in the midst of so much change. God says through Malachi the prophet, chapter 3, verse 6, "For I, the Lord, do not change." The author of Hebrews says in chapter 13, verse 8, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore." This is unchanging truth in a changing world. Our God, beloved, is immutable and eternal. Yesterday, when you put your children to bed, today, when you woke up in this brave new world, and tomorrow, our God will still be the great I am, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. That, beloved, will never change. He will ever be the great I am, yesterday, today, and forevermore. The same God who spoke the sun and the moon and the stars into existence is the same God who sat with Joseph in his Egyptian prison, is the same God and Father who met Moses on the mount and led his people through the wilderness. The God who created the universe is the God who forgave David. He forgave him of his adultery and sin, who protected and preserved his people through the Babylonian exile. This is the same God who sent his only begotten Son into the world, who crushed his Son as a sacrifice for our sins on the cross, and powerfully raised him for the grave for our justification, who is now seated, enthroned in heaven, sovereign over all kingdoms, dominions, principalities, and powers, sovereign and supreme over all of creation, over every molecule and atom in the universe, over every pandemic and infectious disease. This is our God. He is our God. And no matter how much our lives change, no matter how much this world changes, that, beloved, will never change. Never. This is, He is our God, the anchor of our souls, the anchor of stability in a rapidly changing world. And listen, friends, if our God and Father does not change, neither does His Word. Everything He has told us about who He is, about why the world is as it is, about how He saves us from sin, death, and hell. What He says is true, no matter what anyone else says, no matter how much this world changes. The heavens and the earth will pass away. But Jesus says, My word will not pass away. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Where is your confidence today, beloved? Is your confidence in how stocked your pantry is? In how much food you've supplied? Where is your confidence? Listen, beloved church, the unchanging nature of God, His immutability and eternality, the surety of His word, these realities are realities that we can stand on, that we can stake our lives on. This anchor will hold through this storm. This rock is stable enough for us to build our homes upon, so that even when everything in life seems upside down and topsy-turvy, we can say with the psalmist, listen to Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth is removed, the psalmist says, and though the mountains be carried into the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains tremble, the psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength. Beloved, as we look ahead as best we can, in the world around us, in our lives, be assured of this. Things will continue to change. Things will continue to change. Whether they go back to normal, soon, later, never, listen, no matter the change, we need not fear. We need not despair. For our confidence, our anchor, is in God, whose character and promises remain fixed and firm. This is unchanging truth in a changing world. Listen, I don't mean to make light of the situation that we're currently in right now, but my kids are super happy. In part because they don't have to go to school in the morning, and we're trying to keep them as busy as possible. But they are super happy. What we say in our heart, they are juiced right now, hanging out with mom and dad, who also happen to be very cool. They are happy and at peace. Why? Why? Well, because in their world, someone stronger is in control. Mom and dad have their best in mind and we will do anything it takes to provide and protect them. Mom and dad have things under control. This is their confidence, you understand. Theirs is an absolute trust and dependence. How much more with us? Friends, in this world, someone stronger is in control. Our Heavenly Father has our best in mind, and He has and will provide and protect. Perhaps not from a virus, but He has provided and protected us, as you well know, from the plague of plagues. Christian, look. Look at how he loves you. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How will he not with him freely give us all things? My hope and prayer for you, brothers and sisters, is that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Perhaps you don't know this peace. Perhaps you've tuned in and you are without Christ today. Listen, my non-Christian friend, there is a sickness and a plague that has a 100% death rate. You need not get tested. You need not shelter to avoid infection because you absolutely have it. All have sinned and fallen short the glory of God. We are sinners through and through, and the wages of sin are death, spiritual death and eternal separation from God's love and grace. And this spiritual death issues in physical death, and so we die. Sin is the plague of plagues. But listen, friends. God sent his only begotten Son into the world to save the likes of you from sin, death, and hell, from this plague. Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth, truly God and truly man, to seek and save the lost, to call sinners to repentance. He came not for the righteous, but for the unrighteous, not for the healthy, but for the sick. Non-Christian, he came for the likes of you, to atone for your sins, to raise you to the newness of everlasting life. Unless, of course, unless you refuse to believe that you're sick. Friends, it is only those who think that they are whole who will never be healed. Those who aren't lost who will never be found. Those who think that they are without sin, who will never be forgiven and saved and redeemed. Don't be so foolish. Don't be so foolish. Confess your sins to God. Repent and turn from sin and unbelief. Put your full trust in Jesus Christ, your full confidence in his person and work, that he came, the light of the world. He came into this darkness to bring us back to God. And he did so by first laying down his life as a sacrifice for our sins, dying on a cross as a substitute in our place. He died on behalf of all who would look to him, in behalf of all who would trust in him. The wages of sin are death, and so he died in our place. He died to make atonement, not for his own sins, for he had none, but for ours, for our sin, if we put our faith in him, if we trust in his person and his work on the cross. And having died, death could not hold him. Death could not hold the author of life, you see. Having received and accepted the sacrifice of Jesus, God the Father raised his Son from the dead. He conquered the grave to give eternal life to all those who believe. The Bible says this, confess with your mouth Jesus Christ as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. Do that today. Do that right now. Do that today. And you can sing with us. You can sing, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. This is our anchor and our confidence. Confidence that stabilizes us in a turbulent, unpredictable world. Unchanging truth that carries us into eternity. Unchanging truth in a changing world. My non-Christian friend, it is my hope and prayer that this pandemic will cause you to look up. Look up. Away from the temporal. And up to the eternal. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Christ is ready, and he is more than willing to save. Put your trust in him. What he offers, nothing and no one can take from you. No one can take the salvation that he offers in himself. Neither death nor life, things present nor things to come, height nor depth nor any other power will be able to separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, we are grounded in God who is unchanging and who is eternal. He is Almighty God and our Heavenly Father. Our confidence is in Christ, in the gospel of God's salvation, which is in Jesus. These are unchanging truths, you understand, immutable and eternal truths. But it is also true in the midst of a changing world, it is also true that our responsibility to God and to one another remains unchanging. Last week, I exhorted you through 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, to love God, to love him with all that you are, with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and with all of your strength. This, beloved, has not changed and will not change. This is what God desires and what he requires of us. Now, right now, is as good a time as any to seek God, right now, to get on your knees and to commune with the living God. Don't waste this pandemic. John Knox's life verse was Psalm 50, 15. Listen to his life verse, very simple. God says this in Psalm 50, 15. He says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. And you shall glorify me." My hope and prayer for each of you, beloved, is that you would be in pursuit of God, calling out to God, that your faith and love would grow, that you would cast your cares at his feet, knowing that he cares for you, that you would be anxious for nothing but all things by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, making your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Oh, that you at this time would prioritize time in God's word. That your love and desire for God would issue into deeper devotion, perpetual meditation, and a constant communion. Peter said to Jesus, he said this, he said, "To whom shall we go? You have the very words of life." Do you believe that, beloved? Do you believe it? Perhaps you think it's more beneficial to watch the news instead of searching the scriptures. Perhaps you think it's more important to stay on top of the statistics about infection and spread instead of focusing in on God's promises. Perhaps hand sanitizer is more important to you than the sanctifying power of God's word. Jesus said, and he prayed, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. When Israel went into exile, they lost their land. They lost their temple. They were incapable of corporate worship as God laid out in his law. But what they had was God's word. They had the most potent source of truth on this planet. We may not be able to meet together as a church. Mind you, this, whatever this is not church. This video stream, no. Church is an assembly. The idea that is built into the Greek word ekklesia is that of an assembly, of a congregation, of an assemblage. We may not be able to meet physically as one body, but we have God's word. Saturate yourself with God's word. The heavens and the earth will pass away, but my word, my words will not pass away. Loving the Lord your God in these crazy times will not mean that you have nice thoughts about God, that you think positively about the situation, or perhaps share sentimental niceties with your neighbor. No. It will mean that you get into God's word and seek his face. It will mean that you get on your knees and in your prayer closets. That you would seek after God with Moses, who said to God, show me your glory. But listen, beloved, what I am exhorting you to now was true before this whole pandemic thing happened. To love God and to seek his face. And friends, this will be true long after this pandemic is over, Lord willing. So listen, don't waste it. Don't waste this pandemic. Now is as good a time as ever to love the Lord your God. This has not changed, you understand. This will never change in the Christian life. This is unchanging truth in a changing world. Love the Lord your God. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let's read that passage together. Would you turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew? Matthew and chapter 22. Matthew 22, familiar territory, beginning in verse 34. Matthew 22, verse 34 reads, But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. On these two hang all of the law and the prophets. In this context, in our context today, what does it mean to love your neighbor? Well, as counterintuitive as it may feel, loving your neighbor means that you stay home. That's what it means. Keep social distance. Now, from the perspective of the commandment, love your neighbor, we keep distance not for our sake, not for ourselves. This isn't for self, but for the sake of our neighbor, for the sake of our community. You see, this goes beyond acting responsibly. This is about loving your neighbor. It's about preserving and protecting their life over your own. It's about preserving and protecting them. And friends, nothing is more Christ-like than preserving and protecting life. Listen to Luther. Yes, I'm quoting Luther in our contemporary situation. Of everything I've been reading over the past few weeks, Luther's words have been surprisingly relevant. As the Black Plague came to Wittenberg, he wrote this. Listen. He said, quote, "I shall ask God mercifully to protect us. Then I shall fumigate, help purify the air, administer medicine, and take it. I shall avoid places and persons where my presence is not needed in order not to become contaminated and thus perchance inflict and pollute others and so cause their death as a result of my negligence. If God should wish to take me, he will surely find me doing what he has expected of me. And so I am not responsible for either my own death or the death of others. If my neighbor needs me, however, I shall not avoid place or person, but will go freely as stated above. See, this is a God-fearing faith because it is neither brash nor foolhardy and does not tempt God." You see, in the midst of plague, Luther prayed for God's mercy. He fumigated his home, as he said. He took and administered medicines. He avoided persons and places so as not to contaminate others. To the best of his ability, if God called his number, he was determined to live in these circumstances responsibly. In other words, loving his neighbor. And he said this. He says, "If my neighbor is in need," he says, "I will go. I will help as responsibly as possible." God-fearing faith, he says, is neither brash nor foolhardy. In other words, it's not reckless. And so, we must not be brash or reckless, for that would only hurt our neighbor, but we are called to love them. Would you turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 6, and again, we'll read this together, beginning in verse 6. Another very familiar story. Jesus teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Luke chapter 6. Here, once again, God's word. "Now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely," that is Jesus, "whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Arise and stand here.' And he arose and stood. And then Jesus said to them, 'I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy?' And when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. But they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus." And so, the principle and rationale behind canceling our services is that life, the preservation of it, is more important than Sabbath keeping. And again, in the strange providence of God, loving our neighbor, loving and valuing their life above our own, takes precedent over Sabbath keeping at this time. That said, we thank God for things like phone calls, FaceTime, and even this video stream. Though not physically together, even though we cannot meet as a church, we can gather around God's Word, which is what we're doing right now. While corporate worship is not possible, nevertheless, our worship and fellowship, it must continue. Though unconventional, and through unconventional means like this video stream. Listen, husbands and fathers, now is as good a time as any to lead your family into family worship and devotion. Listen, wives and mothers, now is as good a time as any to support and help your husband as he protects and provides, to remind him to look up and to be anchored by faith in God. Youth students, CJ, Hannah, Ali, Mai Mai, in times like these, listen, it is foolish to live for the world. It's a chasing after the wind. Don't love the world or the things of this world. No, love God, my youth students. And as we have learned in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He is both Lord and Christ. And he says, follow me. And would to God that you would lay down your nets and leave your boat and follow after Christ. Men and women of God, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Think of them before you think of yourself. Luther said, if God should wish to take me, he will surely find me. He will find me doing what he expected of me. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. This is what God expects of us. And there is no better way to love your non-Christian neighbor, your family, your friends, your coworkers, than to give them the antidote. To give them the cure, the medicine of the gospel. Perhaps you were scared to do it face to face. Well, guess what? God has given you this opportunity. Now that perhaps you're too afraid to do it face to face, to do it over the phone, or through an email even, or a FaceTime call. Now is as good a time as any to ask the ultimate questions and to direct your neighbor upward, to tell them of Christ, your Lord and Savior. Would you turn with me now back to the Old Testament, to the book of Numbers? The book of Numbers and Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. Beginning in verse 4. We're not quite there yet in Bible study, but a little spoiler, I suppose. Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. And let's read together down to verse 9. This is Israel in the wilderness. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. And this is what they said. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our souls loathe this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Note that prayer, "Take away the serpents from us." Well, God didn't answer that prayer. He didn't answer as they prayed exactly, but look what God did. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. In the midst of difficulty and discouragement, the Israelites turned to blame God and Moses. And so we read in verse 6 that God responded to their grumbling by making matters worse. This was the work of God, you understand. He sent fiery serpents into the camp. In other words, very, very poisonous snakes into the camp to bite the people. This was the work of God. Now, I am not saying that this story parallels our own. Please don't misunderstand me. But what I mean to say is this. Listen, all of life is spring-loaded and designed to point us to our Creator and Lord. All of life is spring-loaded and designed to get us to look up to God, our Creator and Lord, our Savior and our Redeemer. All prosperity and joy, every blessing, all beauty and happiness is designed to point us up to God. But so also is pain and sorrow and difficulty and trial. When it comes to tragedy, listen, we don't want tragedy for ourselves or for others. No, God forbid. But we know that a good God is behind the dark clouds. Why? Why this circumstance? Why this tragedy? Well, the simple answer, the short answer, is to get you to look up. To look up. So that we might look up to God, who is our eternal and only hope. You see, these fiery serpents brought many an Israelite to their knees in repentance, and they cried out to God. This was God's design. This was His intent. Why this virus today? Why now, as you're struggling through pregnancy and as you are awaiting perhaps the birth of your firstborn? Why now, while I'm working in this hospital context? Why now, with my aging and health-compromised parents? Why now? To get you and us to look up to God. God said to them, don't fix your attention on the snake bite. And for all we know, the snakes were still around while the serpent, the bronze serpent, was being fastened to the pole. But God said, don't look at the snake bite. You need not worry about how much toilet paper you have stocked up. But God said, look up. And this is exactly what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Do you remember? How can a man be born again? How can he enter into the kingdom? John 3:14, Jesus said this, as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Look up to Christ. He was lifted. Last week, I came home after the video stream, and I was frustrated, and I was deeply saddened. I was sad because we couldn't meet together for worship. And I hate talking into the camera. Sad because we couldn't meet together for worship, because we couldn't see each other. And I think many of you felt something of the same sadness. As sad as I was and as sad as I am, my hope is that this sadness reminds all of us of just how precious our fellowship is, just how precious our church family is. There is nothing I look forward to more after this plague passes, Lord willing. Nothing I look forward to more than lifting my worship with the people of God, than worshiping together with all of you. May God strengthen our bonds of love and unity at this time, in this circumstance, despite being isolated from one another for a short time. May God richly bless you, each one of you. May the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of us in these uncommon times. Let's pray together. Our loving God and Father, we thank and praise you, no matter the trial or the circumstance. In times of confusion and confinement, we are free to worship and thank you. No one and nothing can take that from us. We are free. Our communion with you is not constrained or confined. In times of fear and loneliness, you are with us, never to leave or forsake. Our loving Father, we are in your hands, and there we love to be. Only increase our faith and give us boldness to love our neighbor now more than ever. Make us salt and light in a dark and tasteless world. All glory to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.